The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we lift our heart to Thee at this hour, we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and upon the basis of that precious blood. For this is a solemn hour. As we read in Thy precious Word, there's coming a day when we all must stand before Thy judgment bar, the judgment seat of Christ, and give an account of the things done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And we do know, our Lord and our God, that none shall escape that day. And so we do pray that in this time when repentance and remission of sins can be had, that Thy mercy will be worked in hearts by Thy Spirit, and Thou wilt be pleased to honor Thy Word and send it home in power and much assurance to each and every heart, that many will be called unto Thee, and Lord, that Thou wilt deliver them by Thy almighty power. For it's in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We give thanks to our living God for all that He has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can sing of our Redeemer. God has given us something to sing about. For as the psalmist said in Psalm 40, we cried unto the Lord, and He heard our cry, and delivered us out of the horrible pit, and planted our feet upon a rock, and established our going, and put a song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall hear about it, and shall rejoice in the Lord. And I praise Him, and praise Him for who He is and what He does, and what He's done for me. Do you, my friend? I trust that you're praising Him. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My dear friend, if you would like to have a part in this radio ministry of the Word of Truth, preaching the Word of God as it is to men as they are, then write us and tell us that you are standing with us in prayer, that the Word will go forth in power and much assurance. You can help us the greatest by praying for us. The Lord will send forth His Word in power. If you desire an interest in the cassette ministry that we have on a revolving basis, these radio messages and others that we deliver in our evangelistic travels and here at Mount Zion Bible Church, we'll be happy to give you information as to how you can receive them on a revolving basis. You write us, will you? And this is the last time we'll offer our book, The ABCs of the Prophetical Scripture by George Clement. It's a little book that you ought to read. I wholeheartedly recommend it to you. It is a concise study of biblical prophecies, a treatment of topics such as the kingdom, the second coming, the tribulation, the millennium, and the Antichrist. This little book is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Many chapters, 12 chapters in all. You write for it by name, and we will be happy to send it to you free and postpaid, the ABCs of the Prophetical Scriptures. And also ask for these messages that we're delivering at this time from the Word of God. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We have been for the past weeks endeavoring to set before you the scriptural teaching of the wrath of God and the exercise of God's divine justice. My dear friend, that God's wrath is one of His holy attributes and perfections is everywhere declared on the pages of Holy Writ. Therefore, since the Scriptures make no attempt to conceal the fact of God's wrath, it makes no attempt to conceal the fact of God's vengeance and God's fury against sin and the sinner, then woe be unto me if I do not faithfully declare it as being part of the whole counsel of God. I believe that one of the grave errors of our day is the preaching of the love of God to the expense of His wrath and justice. In this respect, the Lord Jesus is shown as having come to show us the love, the mercy, the goodness, and kindness of God, which is true. But also He has come to warn us of the awful danger of abiding under the wrath of God forever, if there is no turning unto God from sin and true repentance and faith. You see, we must keep in focus that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the eternal Word of God, came to show us God the Father and to reveal unto us God's mind, to reveal unto us God's express will, and to make known unto us God's perfections, and to lay bare God's heart unto His creatures. I believe we can get into our subject today, which is our Lord's teaching on the wrath to come and the eternal punishment of every Christ rejecter, by looking at two scriptures in John's Gospel, chapter 1. Are you listening? Verse 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, as the Word of God, He came down from heaven to reveal unto us the Father. Then because He did, then we surely can understand that He came not to misrepresent Him, but to spell Him out or to tell Him forth, for He is the Word. Perhaps we can understand the impact of this more if we understand what a Word is and why Christ was called the Word of God. Will you listen? First, a Word is a medium of manifestation. You see, I have in my mind a thought, but you cannot know what it is. You cannot know its nature. But the moment I clothe that thought in words, it becomes recognizable. Words, then, make objective, unseen thoughts. And, dear friend, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. As the Word, Christ has made manifest the invisible God. Second, a word is a means of communication. By means of words, I transmit information to others. By words, I express myself. I make known my will and impart knowledge. So Christ, as the divine Word of God, the divine transmitter, communicates to us the life and the love of God. Third, a word is a method of revelation. You see, by His words, a speaker exhibits both his intellectual caliber and his moral character. By our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. And Christ, as the Word, reveals the attributes and perfections of God. And all my heart rejoices, for how fully has Christ revealed God. He displayed His power. He manifested His wisdom. He exhibited His holiness. He made known His grace. He unveiled His heart, and He faithfully declared His justice and hatred for sin. In other words, as the eternal Word, He held back nothing that would reveal unto us our glorious living God as He is revealed out of the pages of Holy Writ. Listen to me now. If our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word, faithfully spoke out God and His glorious attributes, then we could expect Him to tell us of the justice of God, of God's punishment of sin, and the final abode of the wicked. Are you listening to me? Therefore, we better give heed to the words of the Son of God, for it is written, that in these last days God has spoken unto us by His Son, according to Hebrews 1:2. You listen now. For this is not my word, but the word of Him who came down from heaven as the eternal word to speak forth the character, the mind, and the will of God the Father. In John 3:36, our Lord faithfully declares that the wrath of God upon everyone who does not believe in and on the Son of God, whom God has sent down from heaven as the way back to heaven, God's wrath abides upon him. Listen to John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This is very clear that every unbeliever, every Christ rejecter, every person who has not believed to the saving of his soul right now abides under the wrath of God, is right now subject to God's anger, to God's fury, because he is holy and he hates sin. And my dear friend, this is not only true of individuals, but also true of nations and cities, as our Lord faithfully warned of coming judgment on the cities wherein most of His mighty works had been done. Listen to Matthew 11:20-24. Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. He said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." What our Lord is saying here is that the punishment for sin in hell would be a lot less for those who have had only the light of nature to go by, according to Romans chapter 2, than it will be for the inhabitants of the United States who have had the light of God's Word to go on, and who have turned away from it to go after their own way. And not only that, but you who have sat under a faithful ministry and have had light upon God's Word for you to go into hell without repentance and faith and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, your damnation will be greater than those who had not light as you have had. In Matthew 5:29-30, also in Matthew 17:18-9, and Mark 9:43-50, our Lord faithfully warns us of the consequences of yielding our bodily members as members of unrighteousness. Do you remember what we're speaking on today? I'm speaking upon our Lord's teaching upon the wrath of God. And He warns us of yielding our members as members of unrighteousness. The yielding of our bodily members to sin. Listen to one of the most searching warnings given by our blessed Lord, who was the eternal Word come down from heaven to declare unto us a holy, sin-hating God. Listen. "If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life halt than to have two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. Listen to me now. The word hell here is Gehenna. The name of a ravine starting from the northwest of Jerusalem, which sweeps around the southwest angle of the city, then meets the Kidron, the brook Kidron, below the pool of Silvan. You see, this valley is the traditional site of the fire and the fire worship which began in the reign of King Ahaz and after its desecration by King Josiah became a common receptacle for the refuge of the city, and later in Jewish thought a symbol of the place of future punishment. The city garbage, where worms gnawed and fires burned continually, is a vivid picture of everlasting punishment, and our Lord used it because the people of His day knew about this place. Also, Gehenna in the word is used in the New Testament to designate the place of the final abode of the wicked dead, which is the lake of fire of Revelation 21:8, which reads, "The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Also, that portion that we read out of Mark 9, the worm, like the fire, is undying and is the conscience of the inhabitants of hell, which is revived to gnaw at a man for eternity because of his foolishness in spending his time here on earth in sin and pleasure and not preparing himself for eternity by bowing at the feet of the Holy God. Also, our Lord gives us here the clue as to how the bodies and souls of men in hell shall be preserved. And it is in the expression, salted with fire. You see, salt is a preservative. Therefore, when we are told that everyone who is cast into Gehenna shall be salted with fire, we learn that the very fire itself, so far as consuming, shall persevere, shall preserve. If it be asked, how then can this be? We answer, because that fire is prepared by God Himself. For we read in Matthew 25:41 these words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, he who kept the burning bush from consuming before Moses, and he who kept the three Hebrew children from dying in the fiery furnace of King Nebuchadnezzar, can also keep the bodies of those in hell from being destroyed. But many of you will say that these words of our Lord are merely figurative expressions. I ask you, how do you know that? Where has God told you in His Word that the expression of His wrath is merely figurative? Was our blessed Lord, who was sent down from heaven, playing with words? Was He saying one thing and meaning another? Did He come to misrepresent the living God? I think not. Personally, I believe that when our Lord said fire, He meant fire. I refuse to blunt the sharp edge of His word. Was the deluge, the flood, was it figurative? Was it figurative fire and brimstone which descended from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Were the judgments, the plagues that fell upon Egypt, were they figurative? Is it figurative fire which shall devour the heavens and the earth and to cause the very elements to melt with fervent heat in that last day when our Lord shall come? No. In each one of these cases, we must take the words of Scripture in their literal meaning. And God meant exactly what He said. And let those of you who dare deny these words of our Lord give answer to Him. I dare not refuse them. I dare not soften them. I dare not tone them down nor explain them away, but faithfully declare to you these solemn words that if you die without Christ, you shall live without Christ and will never die, end in eternity of suffering and woe. And that where death finds your eternity will hold you forever and ever. Oh, my friend, can you hear it today? Do not tone these words down. Do not soften them. Do not try to explain these expressions away. Our Lord Jesus, as the Word of God, has been faithful to give us these words, and we must believe that He is speaking to our hearts and that He preaches and He preaches and He teaches the truth. My Bible tells me to let every man be a liar, but God is to be truth, for He is truth, and our Lord Jesus is the true and the faithful witness, and so He came to declare unto us. He came to declare unto us it would have been better for us if we had never been born than to die without Him, to die without His precious blood, having been applied to the doorpost of our heart. Oh, my sinner friend, you who goes on living in sin, I want to warn you today. You moralist, you self-righteous, person, you preacher, you teacher, you personal soul winner outside of Christ, I warn you, if you die in that state, hell is your doom. For where death finds you, eternity will hold you forever and ever. We could go on, dear friend, and give you many more scriptures showing the teaching of our Lord on this subject from the four Gospels. But we must close for now. Listen again to our Lord's word in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What a promise. What a blessing that He has given us this promise of deliverance by believing on Him, trusting Him, and relying upon Him for the salvation of our never-dying souls. But the last part of that scripture reads, "But he that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth upon him, and that forever." Are you in Christ? Have you committed your never-dying soul to Him? Have you fallen at His feet in true repentance? Have you turned your back upon sin? He that confesseth his sin and forsaketh them, God shall have mercy, but he that seeks to cover his sin shall not prosper. Have you repented? Have you turned from your evil ways? Have you turned unto God? Have you made a 180-degree turn back to God in true repentance? Do you hate sin? Do you flee from it? Do you desire to be free from it? Oh, I pray that you do, because a soul that is laid down their arms of rebellion and have closed in with the Lord Jesus Christ and have truly repented toward God, then we do know that saving faith comes along with it, and we do know that you have trusted and committed your all in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and can say with the Apostle Paul, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." My friend, do you want a copy of this message? You write us. We'll be mailing it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. And until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.